and stakeholders.
The Juju Orchestra with a little, a nifty little tune called This Is Not a Tango. It's from their 2007 album, Bossa Nova is Not a Crime. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we have much to talk about today. We've been gearing our conversation toward what is happening in Washington, D.C., and you might know that today the House Committee, the House Judiciary Committee, issued two articles of impeachment against President Trump today, one on abuse of power, and the other on obstruction of Congress. It's very interesting how in just a couple of days the mood has changed. It is not as frantic or frenetic as one would have expected. That's how it started off. It's become a bit reserved, but that is not a good thing necessarily. So they voted out two articles of impeachment. There may be more to come. We don't know. But we do know now that at least with these two articles of impeachment, it sets the stage for the grand clash over will there be actual impeachment or not when these articles of impeachment are debated. So that's all. There are two articles of impeachment that have been unveiled against Donald Trump. Of course, they will go through the motions. They'll be argued, and there'll be a lot of fighting of the two. And they may not be the only articles of impeachment that would be issued against the president. So we wait, like everybody else, including Trump, to see what else they have in store. Frankly, you know, as I've been sharing with you, this whole process has kind of lost luster for me because I'm having great trouble with this Democratic Party and how it is being overseen, how it is operating. And there seems to be a fundamental change in attitude with this party. Or maybe there isn't a fundamental attitude. Maybe it is the same attitude. But it strikes me as being very different in the era of Trump. The party seems, at this time, it seems fragmented, it seems disordered, And it seems to be having trouble articulating a cogent vision. I mean, in a way, I don't think it would be a stretch of the imagination. I don't think it would be wrong to say that, in a way, the troubles the party's having with Trump did it a bit of good. It helped to bring the party together, at least on that score. You could say it was a benefit to the party. But lots of things are happening that should cause us to worry, and worry greatly. And it doesn't look good. And I just, the whole thing just doesn't look good. What would I be talking about, you say? I'm talking about what the party has been going through and other things that are part of the orchestration. That's what's bothering me, because when you take the whole picture into account, you come up with a very troubling scenario. And I'm referring specifically to Hillary Clinton. Patrice, I mean, come on. This is about impeachment. Yeah, I know. But along with this discussion of impeachment, and it's been going on for a while, we see certain moves occurring in the wings. They were imperceptible at first because they planned it that way, very quiet, very clandestine, so that we focus all attention on Trump and the Democrats, the fight between Trump and the Democrats, the fight between Republicans and Democrats. Okay. But that's not all of the fight, is it? We started seeing Hillary Clinton lurking in the shadows as if she wants to say something. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump and his troubles. It has nothing to do with the Democratic Party fighting this particular fight. It has to do, because Hillary never really gets involved in anything that doesn't benefit her first. That's the number one trait with the Clintons. If it doesn't concern them first and foremost, they're happy to stay on the sidelines. But she started lurking around and making speeches and being very visible. And she went through that for a while to indicate she's not dead. She still has political ambitions. She's still alive. And she is not to be ignored. She may have lost an election, but she hasn't lost the war. She has no place else to go politically except the Democratic Party. She has no other home. So if she intends to do something political, it will have to be with a party that is already formed, already operating, already has, even if you disagree with it, it has a base. It has an identity. And she misses it. She'll need something like that as a vehicle to get her launched again and soaring. She does not have a base. This is the best thing. This is the next best thing. It's already there. She's known. People love her, she thinks. And if she's going to start again, this is a good place to start. Her opponent would be one of the most reviled presidents of the United States. She's a white woman. I'm woman, hear me roar. She's familiar with the innards of the political realm, how to navigate it. And she is mad as hell. She is owed the presidency. That's her thinking. I am owed this. They took it from me, that bum. And now that the Democratic Party, and this is where we have to question Nancy Pelosi and others in the Democratic Party, they work the 1-2 punch. They get Trump snagged in the business of defending himself. And that's a big, big snag. You can't ignore something like that. It's, even if you want to, it's going to be troublesome and you'll have to pay attention to it. And so said, so done. Perfectly timed, we have these charges threatening impeachment, you know, just like the impeachment of her husband. So we have another impeachment process. So she knows this quite well, how it works. Except for Trump, it's about power, abuse of power, and authority, and obstruction, and perhaps some more. For her husband, it was sex. And you know he was telling the truth when he said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. It's the absolute truth. Wasn't it? So here we are. All these things, I'm trying to show you how things, without us really being very conscious of it, have aligned themselves to produce the desired result, the inevitable result as far as Hillary Clinton is concerned. She will have that shot, that second shot at the presidency. And this time, no nonsense. They're being very slick. Almost like ninjas. You're not hearing them, you're not seeing them, but you know they're right behind you. Okay. So how have they done this? Well, of course, it involves Nancy Pelosi. It involves leaders, quote unquote, of the Democratic Party. It involves big money donors all coming together and agreeing that things are so bad. You need somebody to go up against Mr. Trump. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to go talk to Hillary Clinton. But Hillary Clinton didn't wait for them to come to her. She went to them, said, you know, my analysis is you guys are in deep trouble here. The party seems fragmented. People are angry. And you don't have a message. You don't have a messenger. And the more we wait for one, the worse it gets. You started out with, what, almost 20 people? And the response has been very lukewarm. Those are facts. nobody's particularly impressed with any of the Democratic candidates now in play. We know that because so many have dropped out. They themselves can't deny the fact that whatever it was that made the Democratic Party so attractive is no longer working. People are turned off. And oddly enough, the guy that they should turn their attention to and move away from is the more popular candidate of all, the most popular candidate of all at the moment. Donald Trump, left to his devices, all things being whatever it is they are, would more than likely clinch the presidency. What a walloping that would be. So, the Clintons, if nothing else, are a very politically savvy people. A very politically savvy couple is what I meant to say. They're real political animals, but they're animals. Never mind all that effort to soften her up and make her look like a real human being. They're solid concrete under that skin. And they too spot the dilemma that the Democratic Party is in. Nancy Pelosi has not been an effective leader. I have been carping about the fact that she waited, what, almost 2 years to even give credence to the idea that the party ought to go up against Bill Clinton on all of these things that they're now beginning to rush through, because they have a deadline to make. They have to make a deadline, meet a deadline. We are literally on the cusp of presidential season, political season. We're in December. Things should be at full speed at this point, because don't forget, you're going up against Donald Trump. He's not kidding when he says he is sure of his political base following through with support for him. They're very loyal to him. Think what you want about Donald Trump, but he knows how to market himself. He's a one-man marketing machine. He has a very loyal base, and more he's attracting a base, a new base, that is fed up with the disappointments of what they call left-wing politics. And the truth is, you have to admit it, the Democratic Party has not been a bucket of laughs. It has become very complacent. It is so sure of itself. It doesn't even have to try to get people interested in politics and in voting for the party. The candidates that have been fielded so far are lukewarm. But more importantly, people are reading this party correctly, that it has lost. It has lost its identity. It has lost its fidelity with a historic base, working class people, working poor people, middle class people, and people of color. It no longer bothers to even recognize these things are things that you have to pay attention to. And we saw that right now in this effort to impeach the president. The man who made the first call, and I've talked about it, is not even included, really, in this. He's not even seen. I'm talking about Congressman Al Green of Texas. The Democratic Party has become, in part, racist. And everybody sees it. But nobody's doing anything about it. Its current leader, Nancy Pelosi, as I said, has acted as if her position is like that of a regent. She's a queen. The party is lazy. It hasn't gotten out to the people. It has nothing relevant to say to them. I should say to us. Well, actually, I'm not a Democrat. But I mean the regular people. It's not in touch with their issues. It's not working perceptibly hard at dealing with their issues and realities. It's become sexist and classist. It's become the thing that we revile. And now they're in trouble. Because this president, with all the falsehoods you could lodge against him, is seriously in a position to prevail, despite the fact that he is so detested. But he's also very much supported and loved. You don't have that as a Democratic Party. And that's the bottom line of politics. So here comes Hillary Clinton sensing a moment of distress, which she wants to work to her advantage. And she touts her credentials. She's been at the top level of government. You know, she understands how government works. She's experienced. She was Secretary of State, for crying out loud. And co-president with Bill Clinton, although they tried to keep that quiet. She was co-president. And she is angry. She's very, very angry. And can't get over the fact that this wily guy with his orange hair defied the odds and bumped her off. She has spent enough time in the wilderness. And she intends to get out of it. And guess what? Black people are going to do that for her. Yes. Yes. They're going to do that for her. So she comes to the Democratic Party, you know, peddling her skills and whatever else. But she did not, and the party did not. And this is why I say, Nancy Pelosi, I don't know, not a friend. They've been discussing this for a while because Hillary Clinton just shows up. She and her daughter get a book co-written with each other, and she's doing all these things, just showing up in the right places and getting paid for speeches. But now, she is beginning to turn up the volume a bit. She's beginning to become more emphatic about her presence. And they even had the phony baloney poll, because this is now where polls are going to come in. And the news story that I read talked about this poll, this brand new poll that shows that Hillary Clinton is the favored Democratic candidate. Did you hear what I just said? A poll of would-be voters, according to the story, indicates that Hillary Clinton would be the most popular, and she is now most favored, even over Biden, or even over Bernie Sanders, even over Elizabeth Warren. This is what the poll allegedly says. Well, I know I've been around a minute or two. They have now emphatically begun the process of trying to snatch your brain, because the poll is saying that Hillary Clinton is the favored candidate. Now, did I miss it? Did you miss it that she announced her candidacy anywhere? Did we miss it that Hillary Clinton announced her candidacy? Well, here's the story. The poll says she leads them all in terms of approval, public approval, voter approval, even over Biden by a wide margin. So they've begun the process now very aggressively to make her the candidate. So there's a big upset that will be coming. And it would happen this way. She is not going to announce anything, but it will be announced that people are begging her, imploring her to get into the race, to save us, to save the party, to save democracy. Please, Hillary, please agree to run. So, when she declares, and that might be very soon, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, except that people wouldn't know it. She will make a very impassioned speech saying how terrible it is, what America has become. And she feels obliged, she feels compelled to listen to the passion of the people. They're begging her to come back and save the party and save America. That's right. And that's how they do these things. But I'll tell you something. People really should start to prepare for a fight, because that should not happen. And it could not happen without people in the Democratic Party itself, most notably Nancy Pelosi and quite a few of these committee chairmen who long ago got together, of course, at the prompting of Clinton, the Clintons. They certainly might have sent messages that they want to talk and strategize. And that's why, A, this impeachment process is being rushed along so as to deliver some blows to Trump's campaign or nascent campaign and to put him out of commission even before he gets off the ground. They're rushing it. He's got to be dealt some blows and keep him busy fighting for his reputation, fighting for his envisioned candidacy. And it's only a matter of weeks. That's why they're rushing. They're rushing to deal some heavy blows to Trump, to keep him occupied with that, and at the same time to usher in the Queen. Here's our hero, Hillary Clinton. She doesn't want to run, understand, because she believes she has given so much already. But she feels compelled to listen to the cry of the people. So she's dusting off her presidential stuff, and she's getting ready for battle. And she first will go, who will cheer for Hillary Clinton? Black people. Bring on the blacks. Make sure they go mad with joy on the television screens. Oh, Hillary is going to be back. Oh my God, I'm so happy about that. That is great. And it becomes a kind of Ali Frazier phenomenon. And they're orchestrating it. Big money is on it. And Hillary Clinton, before she dies, she has got to be president. She feels robbed. She's entitled to be president. And nobody is going to take it away from her. See? Now, all these things seem to be very disconnected from each other, but they are one plan. One plan. And what is remarkable, or is going to be remarkable about this plan, it doesn't involve people of color except to show up and serve up their votes. That's it. Women and people of color. She's not vested in these communities. She doesn't deserve support from these communities. But this is how the United States, this is the level of racism that we don't see. It works very imperceptibly, but they are taking care of Hillary's business and the party's business. A lot of these things that I'm talking about, they take for granted. It's understood. These things will be done. So now you know why this lurking around, not saying very much, she's just lurking. She's just being seen. Just to remind you, she's not gone. And things are in the works to get her back at center stage. You think I'm lying? You think I have it wrong? Give me a call. We'll take a break. And right after that, we'll talk about your critique. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.fm. I'm Yatrice Lead, and we're talking about the comeback kid, Hillary Clinton, and how the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton appear to have a plan to restore her to her rightful place, which is as President of the United States. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air. Hello, Bill? Okay, Ma'at from New York, you're on the air. I'm not hearing anybody. Ma'at, you're on the air. Okay. 888-874-4888. I'm seeing people's names, but nobody's there when I call you. 888-874-4888. We haven't heard the last of Hillary Clinton, but here's what's important. The engineer says there's a problem with the phone. And I understand it because I've had monumental problems with mine. What they are doing, and it is so offensive to me, I have been in a state of distress in the last couple of days because it is just so wrong what they're doing to the people. It's just so wrong. There's no way to excuse it. There's no reason to forgive it. And I am suggesting that people in the political realm who think they want to make a difference, that you start shopping around for a healthy alternative to what you have now. I feel very strongly, I haven't been in the room, but I know people have gathered in secret and have been planning this shift for a long time. I know that the presidency, or I should say, I believe that the presidency is one of the gifts the Democratic Party is willing to give. And they're trying to work it out. It is to be of primary benefit, not to people, but to Hillary. That's how this party is working. And they have a problem, it seems to be, making it out that the issue is Donald Trump. He is wrong. He is bad. He is this, he is that. And to be honest, I agree with much of it. But this is what the Democrats and Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Clinton and big money Democratic donors are getting ready to spring on us. So all around this time, you should be looking at what is a healthy alternative in case it happens. What are you going to do? Bill from New Jersey, you're back on with us? Hi, Bill. Okay. Ma'at, are you back on with us?
Reese, can you hear me?
Is this Bill?
Hello, yes.
Okay. All right, we're back on. Let's go.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Finally.
Okay. All right, good. As far as the Hillary Clinton comeback, I'm sure it's something that she very much would like to be president before she dies, as you say. But as far as I can see, she is unelectable. She cannot win. There's no way she can win. She had everything going for her the last go-round. The fix was in for her in every way. She had a very popular president, sitting president, campaigning for her tremendously like no sitting president has ever done in history. She had Beyonce and Jay-Z and the so-called mothers of the movement. And you know, the fix was in every single way. And she was up against a guy who's never won any political, never won anything, governor, mayor, nothing. And she still lost. America does not want to elect Hillary Clinton and will not elect Hillary Clinton. She apparently can't get that through her head, but I don't think the Democratic Party will back her because they know she can't win, and they want the White House in the worst way. She can't win. She wants to win, but she just
Do you sense my analysis is off?
Oh, no, no, absolutely not. Hillary Clinton will, I mean, if she can't win this time, if she's still alive the next go-round, she'll be back again. She'll keep coming,
well,
she'll keep coming around.
She's lost, four years
She'll keep coming
already.
Around as long as she's above ground, but she can't win. People don't want her. If she was going to be president, she needed to do it before the internet age. There's just too much information. Back when people thought, oh, the Clintons love black people and they're great people and all of this, you know, maybe there was a chance for her then. But now in the internet age, where there's so much information available about them.
But Obama loved her.
Obama loved
made her his Secretary of State.
Obama's not there to campaign for her this go-round. She doesn't have Obama to campaign and to say she's more qualified than me and I'll personally be offended if black people don't vote for her, which black people didn't vote for her. She can't win. She can try.
We'll see. So we'll see how the theory works out. But that's my theory.
I really
believe this is about to happen.
I would say 100%. Your 100%. Your theory is correct. That's the way it's going to go. But I don't see her winning, and I don't really think Nancy Pelosi and the party is really going to back it because they want the White House in the worst way. They want
Democrat
in there.
That's the whole thing. If they
realize
she's
a white
female. She is the specimen that would bring everybody together now. So we'll see. Thanks a lot for your call today. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Okay.
You know, this would be humorous if we weren't in such a state of affairs as far as the environment, as far as geopolitical, as far as on the home front, homelessness, economy. It would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. I heard this morning about the poll and how she's ahead of all the candidates, even though she never, as you said, announced her candidacy. But it's just ridiculous that people in this country are allowing this to even be mentioned. I mean, you know, I take my cues from China. I take my cues from South America. I take my cues from Italy, France. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it needs to happen soon because there's not going to be anything left. I mean, if these quote-unquote political leaders can't get it together to bring up this tired individual to go against another tired individual who have no connection to the common man, other than the fact that we're all human beings, is totally pathetic, and it's gone beyond funny for me. It's just it's gone to the mournful and the sorrowful. If you feel like singing a death lament for this country, it's ridiculous.
What if it turns out exactly that way, that she is softening her entrance into the Democratic Party? What do you think would be the reaction by, well, we know what the reaction would be, but what do you think the consequence would be? How would a Bernie Sanders react to something like that?
Well, I think Bernie Sanders would go along with it because he did it primarily the last time when they cheated him.
No, you think he'll go along with it?
Yeah, I don't think he has the backbone. I don't think there's any of them have the backbone to really put it all out there. To really, you know, I don't think there's a politician. I mean, maybe Tulsi Gabbard. I've looked at her. You know, I don't like all of her policies, but
she announced today. I see that she's out of the race. She's not going to be running. But she's not leaving the race, but she's not going to be participating in the debate.
Great, yeah, because she didn't get enough of the, I believe she didn't get enough of the polls or have enough money.
Right.
I think it was the polls, yeah. But what I'm saying is that as far as I'm concerned, none of these people, they're all political hacks. And this game and this system has gone on for so long and has become so entrenched in Washington, D.C.
When are we going to stop saying that they're political hacks? When do you create your own representation? You know what I mean? Is it still the case that all we respond with is they're political hacks?
Well,
but it doesn't solve the problem about who will represent best your interest.
I understand, and I totally agree with you. I mean, we've got to stop responding with this negative critique and start developing. I've always said from the beginning, it's all about local politics. It's all about developing your local leaders. It's all about controlling your local environment and then moving on nationally. I mean, it's what the Tea Party did in the late 80s and early 90s. You've got to take over your local government. You've got to, because we don't have the money to buy into the elections like Bloomberg, like Trump, like all of these quote-unquote millionaire politicians who never had political aspiration in their life, now all of a sudden want to jump into the political arena. You've got to develop it locally. You've got to develop a local force, and it's going to take time, it's going to take persistence, and it's going to take real work. And I just don't think the American people, number one, can understand what politics really is, and number two, have the wherewithal and the tenacity to actually do the work. I don't think it exists. I don't think enough pain has been manifested yet. But I think, if this clown show continues like it is, it's coming. Believe me, it is definitely coming.
Okay, thank you, Ed. Thanks a lot, Lee from New York. You're on the air.
I'll be short and sweet. They couldn't shove her down my throat the last time, and they cannot shove her down my throat this time. Whether the Democratic Party put her up against Trump, it just means one of two things. Either we as a people get screwed by a Nockwish or we get screwed by a Frankfurter. Any way we turn it, we're screwed. But I will not vote for Hillary Clinton. If necessary, I'll write in a candidate. That's my statement. Over and out.
Okay. What responsibility would you place on the Democratic Party if it should come to that?
It just tells me they're totally irresponsible. They're totally irresponsible. They don't represent my interests. Beginning and end of story.
All right. I'm afraid of you. Thanks, Lee, for calling in and contributing today. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Hello. Hello.
Jay?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, you said you asked a question if your analysis was on point. I would have to say that it was quite dramatic and quite out there with the stretch of the anticipation that Mrs. Hillary or the Clintons will somehow jump into the fold. I believe they have no credibility. They have a great deal of questions to be answered that you don't have to go to social media and get the greatest or the latest controversy or conspiracy theories. There are concrete cogent and clear indictments against them, from the Haitian, so-called the Haitian or Haiti's rescue effort and their lack of development there, all the way to Arkansas and their dubious behavior during the governor Clinton being there, and all kinds of shenanigans with the state prisons and the donations of blood.
Yes, we know that. And with all of that, Bill Clinton was elected to two terms. With all of Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State.
Well, there's a psychosis going on. There's a psychosis going on. There is a orchestrated maneuvering on the behind the scenes where you have your elites, your oligarchs, your trans corporations.
If you can, for a minute, I want you to be more specific, not as general as you are. Tell us what specifically you will take umbrage at. What specifically you would consider as an alternative move, if that happens?
Well, to resolve being shortchanged as being part of one of the electoral bodies. We're shortchanged in the fact that we had 3 years of this impeachment circus going on, to be specific. And we're also shortchanged where we're looking at the Hillary Clinton, or from your thesis, or your postulate, or what you're describing as the emergence of the Jesus Church and Chicken crowd coming in to somehow save the day and be supportive of a ushering in of the Clintons into this arena because of Trump apparently his exit out from office, which still is to be bare. We don't know for sure. We have the Senate to do their thing. So there are several different umbrages immediately on the presently and on the horizon. And I also would have to suggest that you might want to buckle down a little bit and just face it that we're totally entirely screwed if we think that we have any type of cash or any type of leverage in this whole dysfunctional political climate or the electoral process itself.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for your contribution today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello, David. How are you?
I've been listening to this discussion, and what comes to my mind, number one, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party in this uniparty do not represent the interests of the people in this country. And that should be clear to everyone. The other thing with this discussion with Hillary Clinton, the former co-president, is that I'm wondering why the Republicans hadn't on the problem with the play to pay to play scheme that was in effect when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. How is it they have all the information and they haven't honed in on it? So that's what comes to my mind. But I don't see how the black community especially could vote for somebody like Hillary Clinton, who did what she did in Libya, and also what has been done during the time of the passage of all these laws that fill the jails with jails and prisons with people of color and black people in particular. So
you don't have people with long memories at all. You have people with very short memories. That's what politics is riddled with, people with very short memories.
Yes, well, that's unfortunate. So people ought to go back and look and see what this person's record was when she was co-president, and think about the recent thing with the expose, which Mr. Hortel has underlined many times on the air with this so-called foundation. And the Republicans, if I think they were smart, they would hone in on that and, you know, deal with that in her case. And I think that people would get it. But that seems to be not an issue in the corporate media at all, and it's ignored by these people who sit in the legislative branch.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot for your input today. We have so many more people, and we can't accommodate your contribution today. So if you don't mind calling back again tomorrow, and let's hear what you're thinking. I'm always eager to hear what you're thinking. I laid out a little theory. I think there's validity to it, and I think it ought to come to the attention of people who are activists and people who are watching things develop. This is a fight. We are not understanding that. This is a brawl for the resources and the control over those resources in this country. That's what the election is about. And we better start thinking about a healthy alternative to what we have now, because this is not working. It just is not working. And it is causing a number of people to worry needlessly. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for contributing. And we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.